We're glad that you're here. We're in this series talked about Cornerstone Plus. If you're new with us, simply what it is the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 4 that Jesus Christ is our chief cornerstone, and everything else is built upon that foundation. And what we've done for the last 5 weeks, and we got one more week next week, we've talked about different things that build upon that foundation. We talked about being a contributor, serving. We talked about the idea of being a catalyst for change. We talked about being connected and those things there. Today we're going to talk about craving, and next week we're going to end with talking about complacency. And next week's important for this reason. I have found that when you first get saved, begin to follow Christ, you begin to realize that it's exciting. You want to explore all the avenues, all the different things. You want to get into your Bible. You want to begin to research. You want to begin to grow. And then you get involved in ministries, and of course, sometimes you get a little disillusioned because you think that in church, everybody is so kind and gentle and loving. There's never any division. There's never anything that's going to rub you the wrong way. I mean, Christians' personalities are just lovely to be around. And all of a sudden, you find out that we're all human beings. We're all flawed. We're all sinful people. We all have things that we do and hang-ups or whatever. And eventually, you can become somewhat disillusioned. And over time, even though you're desiring to serve God and stuff, you become somewhat complacent. The things that used to motivate you, the things that you used to really desire to do, the things that excited you begin to take some of a back seat. And so we're going to talk about next week how to get out of that complacency and keep focused on serving God and make it exciting. And that's what Christianity ought to be. It really should. Today, we're going to talk about cravings. Now, we've all had cravings, I'm sure. It's been said that we are what we eat. And as I thought about that this morning and I saw the stuff they had down in the hospitality area, those honey buns, they're just wonderful. Those are just great. But we've heard it said you are what you eat. And we know the physical body, you know, obviously is either developed or sometimes hindered based upon what we put into it. When kids are growing up, we make sure that they get the balanced meals. We make sure they get the vegetables. We make sure we get all those things. But as time goes on, we begin to, you know, get the treats, and we begin to crave those treats and the things that we like. I've always found that the stuff that tastes the best is probably not the best for you. My son and daughter-in-law, for Father's Day, got me a juicer. So the last week, I have been juicing carrots and kale and spinach and some apples and all that and drinking that. And it's not something I crave, but it's a good way to get the vitamins that I need and the stuff I need there. But I crave some of the worst stuff. I crave salty things. I love potato chips. I'm not a big on the sweets unless it has apple in it, but I crave anything salty, potato chips. And, of course, I crave sometimes the worst things for myself. But we are what we eat. Well, that goes with our spiritual life, too. And that's what we're going to talk about today is the cravings we have. And I want to kind of emphasize near the end of this is that we crave what we decide to make our experience. We crave what we decide to discipline in our life. I have found this, that my wife and I were cleaning out closets recently, and we have bags of clothes. And yesterday, we were filling up one of the bags, and she pulled out a brand new pair of pants with the tag still on it that had a 44-inch waist. And she says, "Try these on." And, of course, I tried them on, and that's what I was wearing about 3 years ago. And the thing about it is I loved eating food, pasta especially, and salty food. But I noticed something. As I begin to discipline myself, and began to take the weight off, the cravings that I used to have began to go away and subside. I did begin to crave things like fruits and vegetables and broccoli and stuff. And it was interesting, I found this, that I crave basically what I decide that I'm going to make part of my experience. And so you know, when it talks about food that way, it's the same way spiritually. We crave what we give ourselves into, what we decide to make priority in our life, we crave. And the Bible talks about, and Jesus talks about, craving the right things. In the Bible, there are many types of metaphors that Jesus used. He's talked about, you know, obviously, that you know the branch and the vine and those things there. But he uses an analogy when he talked about what we thirst for and what we hunger for. And that's where we're going to start off this talk this morning, out of John chapter number 6. And we're going to begin with verse number 35 and talk about this idea of craving the right spiritual things. Then Jesus declared, it says in verse number 35, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me and still do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. I love that. For I am come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. For this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of those who has given to me, but raise them up in the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up in the last day. At this, the Jews began to grumble about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. And they said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? He's talking about the human parents there. How can he now say, I've come down from heaven? Stop grumbling among yourselves, Jesus answered. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up in the last day. It is written in the prophets, they will be taught by God. Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. Verily, truly, I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am, and it's interesting because this part here is more emphatic in the actual Greek language, because he's emphasizing now, I am definitely the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. Now, I give my life for the world. And so Jesus gives this metaphor. And, of course, it got some people kind of ticked off there, because what happens is Jesus is claiming in the group there that he basically has come down as the Messiah from heaven. They begin to debate because he had the earthly parents. He had Joseph, and, of course, he had Mary. And they begin, isn't this the child of who we know, our friends? And now he's talking about the fact that he has come down from heaven. And then he uses this idea that I am the bread of life. And what Jesus was trying to emphasize here is that the people that day were searching for so many things to satisfy. They were looking for so many things to follow. They were trying to follow the law. They were trying to follow the rules and regulations, and it wasn't satisfying them. But he wanted to make it very, very clear to them that I am the bread of life, and whoever comes and takes part of me will never go away hungry. He's talking about that spiritual desire. He's talking about that spiritual craving. In our world today, we crave so many things that really never satisfy. I observed, even with my own kids at times, even grandkids, that many times they're seeking after things that never really satisfy. Sometimes people are craving and seeking and desire to be satisfied through material things. We see it all the time. In fact, we live in a very materialistic type world. And everybody and the commercials are driven to try to entice us to the things that we think are going to satisfy us. And so many people try to buy things and own things and have the best of things, thinking they will satisfy, but material things never will totally ever satisfy. In fact, anything new you buy one day will decay and fall apart. Some people try to do it by how much money they make. That the more money I make, the more I have in the bank, the more satisfied I'm going to be. And I can tell you, as the old story goes, you're not taking any of it with you. Money is a conduit, and it's used to be able to do good, and we talked about that a few weeks ago. But so many people are trying to satisfy their lives with money and rewards and that, and so they seek to get all they can of that. Some folks are trying to find, and they crave for relationships. They think, if I have this right relationship, if I find this right guy or this right girl, whatever it may be, that will satisfy my life. And as we know, our relationships are difficult, and they don't always truly satisfy. We do it so many things, recreation, sports, or whatever, and I'm all for those things. I've been watching golf pretty heavily the last couple of weeks. I love watching sports. But here's the thing. We're trying to fill our lives with things that never really were totally satisfying. And here's the reason why. Is our lives are built upon certain components. We are physical. We are emotional. We are intellectual. And all those things that we feed those things come and they go. All those things that we try to feed, those things are temporarily satisfying. But we are also spiritual. And I want to emphasize this. The most important part of our lives is the spiritual part. And it's the only thing in Scripture. In fact, it's interesting because Jesus, we're going to read some more passages in a few minutes that won't be on the screen, but I have them for you. But Jesus made it very, very clear is that all these things out there in the world, they come and they go and they don't totally satisfy. The only part of our life that he has promised and guaranteed that will be totally satisfied and we're never thirst or hungry again is our spiritual side. And if we get our spiritual side in the right place, all the other things will fall in place. In fact, I want to read a passage of Scripture here. It says this in John chapter 6, verse 27. It won't be on the screen. I added it after I got done with the message before the PowerPoint. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to the eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. 1 John 2:15 through 17 says that, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, comes not from the Father but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. And I like this one here. A very common one we've known, Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. And what the Scripture is telling us is that we seek so many things, we crave so many things that never get us to where we want to be. And that's because the most important ingredient of our life is not our physical, and it's not our intellectual. Don't get me wrong. I think it's important to be able to feed those things. I think it's important to eat the right foods, to read the right things, to grow in our understanding. I'm a history buff. I read so many biographies just trying to learn more, especially about the history of our country. Very important to do. Emotionally, try to be in a place to where we are emotionally sound and strengthen our emotions. That's one of the big things today, by the way. If you notice social media, there are more memes, they call them, dealing with the idea of positive thinking and emotional stability. You can scroll through any Facebook post and you will find people posting things that build them up emotionally, and which is very, very good. But in the Scriptures, when Jesus was talking to people, he thought it was important to feed people. He fed 5,000 people, obviously, with the loaves and the fish and those and the, there. But the most important, he says, is that everything else will go away. Every desire of this world will eventually go away. It will not sustain. The only thing worth craving, he says, is spiritual things. Seek him. Crave him. Follow him, and that will satisfy. And that's why it's so important about church and stuff. You know, we tell folks, you know, get in church and learn and grow. Because one thing I totally have understood is this, is that we truly, truly become totally satisfied, fulfilled in life when our spiritual side is actively growing each and every day. And we're seeking him the way that we should. We're craving the right things. Now, I said a few minutes ago that cravings, and I think it was pretty much on the video we saw here, is that cravings come about by our own discipline. And I hope you can follow my logic here. We crave what we've experienced. It's interesting, when a baby is born, they give, the breast milk from the mother, or they use the formula. Have you ever tasted formula, by the way? It is nasty-tasting stuff, okay? And then, of course, we get them to the solid foods, and they got those jars of strained beets and green beans and paste, and they eat that. And they don't know anything different than that. When they're hungry, they crave that. When they're hungry, they crave a bottle. And that stuff, we know, does not taste that well, but that's what a baby knows. That's what they've experienced. And then as they go on, grandma and grandpa come over, and they start doing things that parents don't like. They start, you know, having a little bit of ice cream on their finger, and they give some ice cream to the kid. A little bit of chocolate sauce. Those kind of things there. And all of a sudden, they begin to crave those things, and we call that an acquired taste. And then as we get older, we find that for convenience, What happens a lot of times, convenience, because it's easier to have processed food given to kids quickly. Macaroni and cheese, which I love, but then again, it becomes processed food, and we begin to crave that. And if you try to give a 10-year-old a bottle of formula, they're going to reject it because it tastes terrible. And I'm saying all this to say this. In our physical bodies, we crave what we experience. We crave what we have disciplined into our lives. I'm convinced if you want to make a physical change and get healthy, and you say, I just don't like eating vegetables and fruits, and I'd rather have this, that. In time, when you discipline yourself, and the way it makes you feel better, and the way it makes you feel about yourself, and the way that you begin, as time disciplining, you begin to crave the things that you experience the most. I never thought I would like to eat as much of vegetables and stuff I have in my life back 4 or 5 years ago. I still love the other stuff, but I remember that I used to like drinking soda. And I couldn't go a day without a cup of soda, whether regular or diet. Now I can't hardly handle that because it's not in my experiences anymore. And so basically is we find that if you want to get physically healthy, you got to change the patterns of what you're putting in, your experience when it comes to food. And you say, I don't like that. This doesn't taste good. But in time, that'll be what you begin to crave because it becomes part of your experiences. And as I did research on trying to get healthy and stuff, I begin to realize that the things that I discipline in myself, the things I take out of my life as far as not healthy for me, eventually I have no desire for them. In a lot of ways, that's how it is spiritually. Growing in the Lord and being spiritually strong is intentional. And the more that you are intentional about it, the more that you are creating experiences that make you grow. I mean, we all know this. Getting out of a routine of going to church, when you first get out of a routine of going to church, and churches are not perfect. I'm not saying church is everything. But when you get out of a routine, at first it feels like you're missing and you got to get back. After a while, you ever notice there are people that never attend church again because they changed their experience. It became another routine. They're no longer in the routine. There's nothing wrong with some good routines. If you're going to crave God and crave the things of God, then you have to intentionally begin to change your experiences. You have to begin to invest yourself in the things that create cravings. You have to put yourself in environments that make you want to grow and learn and fellowship with believers and do things, use your gift, talents, and abilities. And the more you do that, the more becomes a compulsion. And a good compulsion, it becomes something that's routine, nothing wrong with some routines, and you crave. You can't wait to be able to get to church on Sunday. You can't wait till the next small group may come up. You can't wait to serve in a ministry. You can't wait to do something because you've changed your experiences. We talk about this being Cornerstone Plus. We're building upon the cornerstone, Jesus Christ, the foundation. One of the things is, we know we talked about contributing, serving. We talked about being a catalyst. We talked about, but this is important. If you want to see the fulfilled life that God had planned for you, it has to be intentionally done by the experiences you create and involve yourselves in. And that will change your desires and cravings. There are people here in our church that are here early every Sunday. They get things organized. Praise God, we don't have to set up anymore. That's one of the nice things. But the thing is, they get here, they're excited, they have their routines, they get organized, they make sure there's some refreshments out there and coffee and stuff like that. Praise Him gets here. And it's somewhat addictive because you just can't wait to get back and do what you enjoy doing. And that desire came because you stepped out and placed yourself in the right experiences and environments to create the craving. And I really believe that the scriptures reinforce this because in all the things that I enjoy doing now, physically, emotionally, intellectually, and spiritually, there was one time I had to make an intentional choice that I am going to do these things. My wife and I, as you know, we're at the gym quite a bit, 2 or 3, 4 times a week. And yeah, we're called gym rats, okay? And Don said the other day, why don't we start working out together, do all the same exercises? And I'm like, no. I like my own space there. I like doing my own thing. But we enjoy going. And I remember when I first stepped out and said, I need to get back to the gym. I need to get back and do some exercise. I need to get up and get mobile again. I need to be able to get, when I walk up my stairs from the base, I need to get to the point where I'm not heavy breathing by the time I get up eight, you know, steps of stairs. Now, it is not only routine, but it's something we crave. We can't wait to, at the end of the day, get a protein drink and go to the gym because we changed our experiences, and that's how we do it spiritually also. There are two basic areas I want to mention in this talk today that we need to crave. Two different areas in which the right thing is to crave. And the first one, we need to crave God's ways. And it says this in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. When you hunger and thirst for righteousness, when you hunger and thirst for God's ways, when you hunger and thirst for things that are what God wants in our lives there, we will basically find ourselves being fulfilled, and that's what we want most of all. The second thing is we need to crave God's word. It says this in 1 Peter chapter number 2, verse 2 and 3. Like newborn babies craves pure spiritual milk, so that it may help you grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good, I have found that the more you get into the Word, the more you crave the Word, the more you want to learn about what the Word says. Follow His ways and crave those things there and crave His Word. Let me, before I get to the walk away this morning, just talk about this idea of growth, because we're going to come down to the close of the series next week with complacency. We talked about all this list here we have here. We talked about catalyst. We talked about being a cultivator the first week there, cultivating a relationship with God. We talked about being a contributor, being connected and remaining connected with other people and being reconnected with the right people. All these things build upon that foundation of what God has for our lives. But I really believe this week and next week are key to a lot of things. Because if we're not craving the right things spiritually, we won't stay connected. We won't cultivate a relationship. We won't be a catalyst. And I've watched over the years, and sometimes even in my own family, my kids, I've seen the fervor and excitement about God and church, and when God does something, sharing the testimony, the blessings. And then I've seen it to where it got out of routine. And sometimes I get bothered, I get a little bit sad because I don't see some of my family serving God the way they used to. I see exactly what I've learned over all these years, that the first step is getting away from things, then you begin to change your experiences, and now instead of craving the things of God, looking forward to church, looking forward to God's people, looking forward to the praise and worship and singing and lifting our voices, you see that craving has stopped, and now it's been replaced with other cravings. And I watch people continuously trying to satisfy their lives with all the things outside there. And don't get me wrong, I enjoy the fruits of outside recreation and things and sports and all that. But there's an emptiness there. Because we are primarily, according to this teaching I'm reading from Jesus' teaching, is that we are primarily spiritual creatures and everything else. In fact, if you were to prioritize what is the most the important component of our life, it is the spiritual. In fact, Jesus said, "You seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness, and then all these things will be added to you." He's very clear about this. If you seek the spiritual things first, everything else will satisfy after that. But I see the emptiness they're going through because they're not involved, and I wish they could change their cravings. And somebody would say to me, if I got somebody that I wish they'd get back serving God in church and these kind of things, what can I do? It starts with this. It starts with an intentional decision to change the experience. If you want to change anything in your life, you got to take a step and do something different. If you want to change your physical, you want to be able, and I'm not talking about the physical look, I'm talking about being healthy. You have to decide, I'm going to do the things and study the things and research the things that make me healthy, that make me feel better physically. If you're going to change yourself and become somewhat more intellectual, understanding and having understanding of knowledge, you're going to have to make a conscious decision to begin to read and develop and learn. If you're going to strengthen and begin to be more emotionally stable, then you're going to have to put yourself in the environments that are going to be able to sustain your emotions. And if you're going to grow spiritually and live the fulfilled life, you got to make the intentional step to begin to do some things differently. And let me say this too. You can be in church each week and still not be spiritually where you need to be. Being in church does not make you, spiritual. Anybody can walk into a building. You may be sitting right now and you're going through the motions, you're dry, you don't have this great, because outside of this you have not done anything else to change your experience. You're not in the Bible reading, you're not involved in other things outside of a Sunday morning service, you're not involved in any service. I've learned this, you grow more by doing than by just sitting. And all of a sudden, you begin to grow, and your spirit begins to grow. You begin to get more mature because you begin to intentionally change your experiences. And that's part of spiritual growth. So what do you crave? Do you crave the things of God above everything else? Do you crave, you can't wait to be involved in some ministry opportunity? Do you crave, when you hear the scriptures read, does it excite you and make you feel good? Do you crave to be able to learn more about God and invest more into God's work and do those things? Do you crave that? If not, why not? You got to change your experiences. You got to change your experiences. There's something I love about the children of our church, and I'm going to get to the walkaway just a second here. You always can test how good a church is, and I say how good a church is, you can always see the value of a church by the children that want to participate. And you know you're doing something right when you're not having to drag your children to church, but they're trying to make sure you get out of the house early enough so they can get there and be part of the whole experience. I mean, to me, you know you're doing right as a church if children can't wait to get here. And sometimes they're running around and they're playing, and sometimes, kids are fast when they're moving around. And the older we get, the more we can't move. I got the grandsons that can almost take me out of the knees sometimes. But I love watching them be excited. I love getting here this morning and seeing a couple of young people out in the teen room there playing air hockey. I think Braylon was playing, beating everybody's, And I love that. I love the little kids running around holding hands. The girls, their best friends. They can't wait to get here. You know what? They're craving because this is the experience they know. And it's a great experience. So here's a little admonition to parents. Be careful not to change that experience. And here's what I mean. I got 5 grandkids. And I'm going to talk a little personally here. My grandkids, the 2 boys especially, Jaden and Zach, grew up in this church, but they haven't been here but once in the last year. And now they don't know this experience anymore. But I remember a day they couldn't wait. They would come in, and of course, if they wore a Detroit Lions jersey, I'd get $1 from Grandpa, and I paid them to support my team. But I remember they couldn't wait to get here and see me. And it grieves me that they don't have that same desire. Because when I talked to them, I said, what are you doing this weekend, Grandpa? Well, Grandma and I are going to church. Oh, okay. You guys want to go? No. The craving's gone. So here's a little admonition to the parents. You have a responsibility to place the proper experiences for your children so they crave the right things. You either will be the greatest influence in their life, or you will have to accept whoever influences their life. Your choice. The reason why some of these children are excited, like Braylon and all the and Wayne and Molly's kids, they get excited, they run around, they enjoy being here, is because parents have done the right thing. And I'm just saying this by saying, we do this. This is our experience, and they crave to be here. But that can change all because of parents. And if you want your kids to grow up and crave God and God's work and God's ways and God's word, you have to make sure they are experiencing the right atmosphere and things. And then they will crave it. It's interesting that I was raised in a pastor's home, and out of the three boys, I was the one that rebelled and quit school and left home at 17 to go in the military and really didn't have, want anything to do with it. Because my parents always made me go to church. And they always made, and it made me do this and this. And, but I realized something, that when I say made me, they invested in me. When I went off to myself as a young man in the military, not saved, I knew all about the Bible, being raised in a preacher's home. But I remember I came back, because that scripture says that how you bring up a child in the Lord, they will not forget. And I remember that when I finally gave my life to Christ, the cravings came back. And I began to crave the things in my life that I needed to. Because my parents said, as the old scripture goes, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Here's the walk away. The walk away is simply this. Our cravings are based upon what we have experienced that satisfies. Change your experiences and you will change your cravings. That's growth. That's growth. It takes some discipline. Anything that's good for you takes some discipline. It takes some intentional decisions being made. So you have to evaluate yourself. What is it you crave the most? There's nothing wrong with enjoying the fruits of the world. Nothing wrong with enjoying the recreation. Nothing wrong. But where is it in the list of priorities in your life? Seek me first, he says, and my righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Matthew chapter 6. Change your experiences and change your cravings. Would you bow your heads for just a moment with me? We have one more week of this one. And next week is in my mind, is vitally important, because I have watched over all these years of pastoring people that used to really be gung-ho for the Lord become complacent. People that led ministries in churches like ours who now don't even do anything for the Lord. And it all started with an intentional decision that to change their experiences and do different things. And all of a sudden, what was a life full of service for God, intrigue about God's word, excitement about things of God, God's ways and stuff, now is on the back burner. They become very complacent. And I always think about the scripture, when the scripture tells us that when we go to heaven, there's going to be a reward ceremony, and there's going to be an acknowledgement of our service done in this body here. And we all want what the scripture says, that we want Jesus to say to us is simply this: well done, thy good and faithful servant, enter into your reward. We want to hear that: well done, thy good and faithful servant. Well done. That it's intentional decisions to place ourselves in the right environments and to crave the right things. And I hope we all crave the things of God. I hope we all desire to really make this a priority, especially with the children. Our children and grandchildren are all spiritual beings. And if we're not investing in their spiritual experiences, they won't crave the things of God. They won't. So make sure you're investing in those experiences that make them acknowledge that they are a spiritual person and they crave the things of God. Father, we just ask you bless today. I thank you, Lord, for this good group here. We pray, Lord, that you would just bless our church. And God, as we finish out this series next week, Lord, I really hope it's been not only educational, but inspiring and motivational, so we can build upon that cornerstone of Jesus Christ. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.